Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey hun, it's me, Danielle. I am a licensed clinical mental health counselor, and I'm here to talk about all the ways multi-level marketing and mental health do not mix. It is important to know that this podcast is not meant to diagnose or for treatment. This podcast is based off of personal experiences and opinions, and is meant to educate and entertain. Now sit back and start healing with me on this episode of From Huns to Humans.
Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of From Huns to Humans. I am so excited. I know I say that all the time, but like I'm actually excited every time, but this is different. So today I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable. My guest is going to be a little bit vulnerable, but I have somebody from my downline coming on the podcast today, and I'm really excited because I think that this is like a really cool opportunity for me to kind of like reflect on my time and like what I did and what mistakes I made and like hold myself accountable, but also like hear, like have us have a conversation about like the dynamic that we had and like what our experience was collectively, and all of that stuff. So anyways, I'm really excited to have my former cult member, Jenny, here today. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Danielle.
I'm so excited that you're here and like willing to talk about this with me, because like obviously it's like not a normal thing to be like, hey, like we were both like in this culty group together and let's talk about it publicly.
Yes.
So, I don't think I was your first MLM though, right? Like you had been approached by other MLMs before Plexus.
Yeah. Over the years I've been approached by different MLMs. I feel like I was approached by Herbalife before Plexus. I remember my mom did Mary Kay when we were younger. We used to get stuff from Avon. I do believe before Plexus, I was approached by Arbonne. I went to an Arbonne party. So I've encountered many MLMs before and after Plexus.
Yeah. Was Plexus the only MLM that you like actually like did?
Business-wise, yes. I tried Herbalife before. But I wasn't like a seller or anything like that. I wasn't a seller for any other MLM that, as far as I can remember, Plexus was the one that I joined the business side of it. I remember using that stuff religiously.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you experienced it too, right? Like when we were on the products, like if you stopped taking them, you like felt like shit.
Yes. Till this day, the bio cleanse that we tried, mm-hmm. the magnesium supplements. Till this day, like when I try to take magnesium supplements, it doesn't have a potent effect on me anymore. Because when I was using the BioCleanse, I think I was taking like 2 tablets every day and it would have a laxative effect. And I liked that because I felt like it was like a colon cleanse type of thing. Like, not to give TMI, but I felt like, okay, I'm cleaned out. Good, good. And I, yeah,
Oh, sorry.
yeah. And no, it's okay. And, but I noticed over time I had to keep increasing the dose in order for it to be effective. And over the years, it got up to be like 10 pills. And I'm like, heck no, am I taking 10 pills? That I think there's only like 30 capsules in the bottle. Like, what is that? I'm gonna run out of it in 3 days. Like, and I just, and I'm like, that's just a bad omen. Like, I should not be dependent on this. Until this day, like if I try to take Metamucil, a lot of other type of like similar supplements, like that are supposed to have that kind of effect, it doesn't work as
So,
well.
fun fact, although magnesium can or I won't say fact, like, please fact check me. Please go and do your own, like, and I mean this when I say do your own research, like, go and like find stuff out for yourself. But what I've been told recently is that magnesium is actually not supposed to make you go to the bathroom like that. Like, it can like help your system to like be more regular. But like, when we were doing it, we were having the toxicity effect of magnesium. Like, we were like essentially like over. We were like overdosing on magnesium, and that's why we were like having that like such a severe like
Effect.
literally when we would tell people to join Plexus and they would start the BioCleanse, we'd be like, don't start it on a work day because you don't know how long you're going to be in the bathroom for. Like, remember, I was like, don't do that. I don't recommend.
And we're like, oh, it helps you, makes you poop. But like, yeah, when I've like looked things up about like supplements and stuff, like taking laxatives all the time is not good for you, like at all. Like even those colon cleanses you can get over the counter, you're not supposed to really be doing that to your body. But to us back then, we thought, oh, we're detoxing. That's like a big word that's used, fad word. I don't know what they call for a word that's like really in trend, is
Bad word.
detox. But what I've learned is, yeah, you don't need to do juices and stuff to really detox your body. You've got
Kidneys.
body parts and organs. Yeah, you've got organ kidneys and your whatever else in your body that does the work for you, that filters stuff out. So, but back then, like, like the whole thing with Plexus is gut health, and yeah, it's important to eat healthy and exercise and all that, but you don't really need such substantial supplements to maintain that. I mean, to my understanding, what I've read about is like some supplements are helpful, but just the way that these companies, like they market it as if like you have to be so dependent on these supplements. And that's, and I'm just feeling like, that my body became really dependent on the magnesium like that. And like I like having to take 10 capsules, like I don't know, like that was kind of like the shifting point for me where I was like, this is not normal.
It was a lot. And like, you had like a lot of life stuff going on at that time and just like health stuff in general going on. And then we were like messing with all of these supplements. And like the thing is that supplements aren't regulated. So like, although we think we know what we're taking, we really have no idea. Like, that's the thing like about supplements is that because they're not regulated by the FDA, they can literally put whatever they want in supplements and sell it, and it's fine.
I
Like,
remember that was like a big talking point back then too, with people who were against companies like Plexus. Like, it's not regulated by the FDA, and we would argue back with them. But yeah,
Yeah, because
no,
we
I
would just
get
be
it.
like, no supplements are regulated. Like, it's not just
And that
Plexus.
shows the bigger picture. Yeah, that shows the bigger picture. That's the problem. No supplements are regulated, and they should be. So
Absolutely. Especially because like there are so many people that have like all of these health claims around this stuff. Like, I just wish that there was more studies around everything, and then like things went through like FDA approval. I don't like understand the whole process of all how all of this works, but like there must be a way to make it happen. Like if taking a vitamin D supplement or an omega supplement is like going to seriously help someone that, or an iron supplement, like people take iron supplements all the time when they have like iron levels. Like, why are these things not regulated if they're like being like prescribed to treat problems?
You know? Yeah, exactly. Another supplement that's prescribed a lot, that is melatonin, that I see prescribed a lot, and it's helpful for a lot of people, but like if people don't know better, they might take too much, or you know.
Right. And like nobody talks about like how to take melatonin and like when to take it and all that stuff. And like if you like look into like different people that specialize in like sleep health, like there's information across the board around when you should take. Like I've heard people say like, oh, like if you're trying to work on your sleep schedule, take melatonin 3 hours before you want to go to bed, and it'll help you naturally create melatonin. But I've also heard people like, I mean, I've personally just taken it right before bed when I've used melatonin. And like, you know, like what's the right answer? Right. What's the healthiest, quote unquote, healthiest thing that you can do for your body? Like we don't, the layperson doesn't know.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. I take it right before bed too. I take gummies, and the gummies taste very good, dangerously good, that like if I didn't know better, I would probably eat the whole bottle.
Oh my God. Yeah. So like, it's so funny because after Plexus, I was like so anti-pill. As you know, I went from Plexus to Arbonne, which also doesn't really have a lot of pill supplements. But Plexus was, it was like, I was taking like my regular meds, and then I was taking like a good handful of medications. So now, and as I've probably said in past episodes too, like, if you want to take supplements, you do that. If you think that they help you, awesome. If they don't help you, like, don't take them. Don't waste your money. And also, like, don't spend all of your money on supplements. Like, go buy, like, a cheap supplement that you feel like is working for you, if that's what you are so inclined to do. So anyways, I have literally behind my computer, I have my whole array of gummy supplements. I take like 10 different gummy vitamins at the end of my workout, and it's just my little gummy snack.
It tastes like good. They make them taste extremely good. It's like, this is criminal. Like,
right. And I'm just like, okay, perfect. Like, I get to have my little gummies. I don't have to worry about taking all these pills, and it's fantastic. And I know that the sugar police are going to like come after me, but like, it's fine. I'm fine.
You're good. It's not hurting you.
One handful of gummies is not gonna hurt me. So, so I kind of wanted to like dive into like some of the things that we experienced together. I haven't really talked a lot about like how I experienced like our uplines on the podcast. And I don't really have like a ton of that I want to comment on that, but I do like notice, I have been like reflecting a lot more recently about like what we experienced and stuff like that. And I was just thinking about like how casually pressured I felt all the time, and like how much FOMO I always had. Like, did you feel that? Oh. Like, because like we would always go to that like bar after work on Thursdays, and like go out to eat, and we'd get all these drinks, and we'd all hang out, and we'd talk about Plexus, and then like I don't know, like I always felt pressured to go and do that. And my mom was always like, do you want to stay home and watch Grey's Anatomy with me? And I was always be like, no mom, I gotta go. Gotta go do my Plexus thing. And I like thought I was doing like this cool thing, and like, no, Danielle, you were in a cult. Like, go home and hang out with your mom.
I felt like for me, and I'm kind of someone that's very like free spirited. Like if someone tells me to do something and I don't want to do it, like I'm not going to do it unless I felt threatened that I had to.
Right.
And I didn't feel threatened that I had to sell. I did feel the pressure, and I don't, but really, I felt like I was enjoying taking the products more, and I was less focused on selling. I mean, I did try. I did have my posts and stuff like that, but I'm not really a salesperson, so I didn't really push it. I kind of, what I enjoyed about Plexus back then was I liked doing like the group outings and going out and hanging with friends. So that's kind of, that's what I enjoyed like doing, but I didn't really, but I don't like to be feel like I'm pressured to sell things. And so when people like pressured me to sell things, like I would try, but I didn't really let it become my whole focus. You know what I mean? I'm kind of just like, I'll try, but if it don't work, whatever. So that's kind of how my viewpoint was. It's kind of ambiguous, I guess.
And that's fair. I mean, like, it's kind of like looking back and being like, well, like, we could have hung out like once a week without having to have this like facade around all of it that we were gonna like make lots of money. Like, we could have just like planned to go out together.
Yeah, I really like, they really like made us think that we were gonna make big bucks and be part of like the Diamond Squad or whatever the heck it was. And I'm like, you know how many people you would have to get to buy your products to do that? I don't even, I think I only got like one person to buy my products or maybe a handful, and they weren't consistent. So I was just like, whatever, like this isn't for me. I'll keep taking the products though. That's how I felt like.
And I feel like you caught me at like kind of like the like when you joined my team, it was kind of like the peak of my enrollment. I think that you were really like the last person that truly enrolled. I might have had like one or two other people, but they definitely didn't try to sell at all, not on the level that you did. And it's just like, I don't know, it's really interesting to like just think about it and think about like, I think about when you first started and I was like, yeah, we're gonna do this together, we're gonna have so much fun, we can like go to these events and we're gonna go out to eat and we're gonna get all these drinks and it was great. And we spent so much money. We spent so much money.
Yep, we
Like
did.
between the products that we were buying every month, I mean the Triplex pack alone, which was the pink drink, the probiotic, and the BioCleanse, was like $140.
A
But
month,
like,
yep.
how often did you buy two probiotics or two packets of Slim or two packets of the BioCleanse because you didn't want to run out?
Yeah, like you'd get nervous when the stuff would run out. For me back then, it gave me anxiety when I was running out of the products because I tied my weight loss to Plexus, even though the reality was I was already losing weight rapidly before I started Plexus. I think Plexus may have amplified it, but I was already losing weight before I started doing Plexus. But at the time, I was like, oh, it has to be Plexus that's making me lose weight. And if I don't take my products, I'm going to get fat again. And I was like extremely afraid of gaining weight again because, in my mind back then, like me being overweight was connected to how miserable I was before when I was in the relationship I had just gotten out of. We would just sit at home. I tell everybody this, we would just sit at home in front of the TV and eat kielbasa. That was my life, and
Just
I was
kielbasa.
so oh, I
Oh.
was oh, yeah, like just large portions of kielbasa. Oh my God, and the rice sides. Like, listen, I'm Brazilian. Like, we make real rice. We don't, you know, the rice sides. Yeah, they taste good and all, but I was with a partner who was like, everything was like out of a can, out of a box, out of a package. Like, we're not gonna make rice like that. Like just very like culturally ignorant. Like I felt like my culture was erased, my identity was erased to fit this guy's, you know, way of life, his way of thinking. And part of that was just I wasn't really allowed to go out with friends. He would say, oh, go out with your friends, but then when I'd go out, he'd be like, were there guys there? Were there guys there? So it made me not want to go out with friends. So I would just stay at home and watch TV. with him, and it was usually everything he wanted to watch, like what was that show, Monsters, like that fishing show where that guy fishes for like monstrous stuff in the lake. I don't know. We would watch that show and just eat large like quantities of rice sides and kielbasa and pasta sides, just very unhealthy food, which is not was not normal for me because my mom was a nutrition educator, and I got overweight, and that was the first time I had been overweight in my life, and I was miserable. I had very poor quality of life. I did not go out with friends. I wasn't allowed to do a lot of things. The guy was very controlling, and I gained weight. So then when I finally ditched him, I lost so much weight, and like, you know, I felt like I got prettier, and then I joined Plexus. So when like I would start to run out of products with Plexus, my mind would shift to like, oh my God, I'm going to go back to the way things were. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it
Yeah.
does. It totally does. And you know, it's so interesting because on this podcast we talk all the time about like what was your vulnerability that like made you susceptible to the scheme, and like you just laid it out so perfectly. Like you
Yeah.
were being controlled at home, your culture was being erased, and you weren't able to go out with friends. So then I was like, hey, like, do you want to be a boss babe with me? And do you want to like take control of your life and make money and be skinny and pretty? And we're gonna like
Yep.
be Sprinkle Sparkle Junior Diamond Ambassadors, and we're gonna get our Lexuses and all of this shit. And then I was like, oh, and we meet all the time. Like we go out and we like we me and you, we used to go out and do a lot. Like not only did we do those Thursday meetings, but like we went to the beach a few times and like we did a whole bunch of stuff together.
Yes, we did. We had a lot of fun, and I think that's why, like, despite like my negative view of multi-level marketing, with Plexus, I feel like that was probably one of the happiest, if not the happiest time in my life, because even though I was clearly very mentally ill, very much like the whole transition from what I would call being a house cat to an outdoor cat was very like that's what like I went from being a very conservative girlfriend, Betty Homemaker type person to being a party girl, like influencer. Like I really transitioned into another being completely. So I feel like that was like that one of the happiest times of my life. I felt like it was like a big, like rebirth for me.
Right.
So, like going to Las Vegas and things like that. I had a great time. I mean, I wish I wasn't sucked into a cult, but the memories that came along with it, like going out to parties and going Las Vegas. Like I feel like that was like the happiest time of my life was going to Las Vegas with you. That was
Oh my God,
fun.
that makes me
Even though
so
we were there
happy.
for the Plexus convention.
I
Yes.
wish that we had,
Like I
like, I
had never
wish that I wasn't
traveled.
such a goody-goody. And I feel like we both kind of fell into this, right? We were, because we got off the plane and we were both like zonked and like so tired. So, our, and you already nap a lot. So, we were both like, we would go to this all-day convention and then we would get back to the hotel room and we were like, I want to go to bed.
Yeah, that was so funny because like the people we were with, they were much older than us, and they're like, yeah, let's go. We're like, I'm going to bed. Like we are the 20 somethings and the 40 somethings are going out partying, and we're like bedtime.
Yeah.
The time difference hit so bad.
Which is so funny because like it's really like not that big of a difference. Like it's what, a couple hours? Like I don't know
Yeah, it was
what.
like 2 hours.
Yeah. Like that shouldn't make us that
Yeah,
tired.
you wouldn't think the jet lag was just like whoa. Like, and I had never traveled. Like, the only place I had gotten on a plane and gone to was Florida, and I don't think Florida has a time difference. So when
No.
we, I remember when we landed in Las Vegas, and we're in the lobby, and we were l waiting for a long time. I think they messed up our room or something, and I'm like, I'm gonna die. Like, I needed to sleep. I needed ibuprofen. I needed water. I needed food. I'm like, I'm gonna die. And then when we finally got the room sorted out and got food, I remember getting to the room and I didn't even care who was there. I just stripped down. I'm like, good night. Like,
No, seriously though, like literally me and you, we would just like stay in our room and we ate these burrito bowls, which I'm totally gonna roast you for. Because, first of all, I need to say that these burrito bowls were like the best burrito bowls I've ever had in my life. Like they will
Yeah, they were
fondly
pretty
live in my
good.
heart forever. Like they were so good. Like if I go back, if I say if when I go back to Las Vegas, like I will get another one of those burrito bowls, if not at least seven. In
They were
Vegas
very
bombs.
good.
Do you remember
Oh,
Vegas bombs? Those were so
yeah.
good. I used to make those at home when we got back because I was like, I'm obsessed with this drink.
I completely forgot about those, but I think the second time I went to Las Vegas back in 2018, I was telling my fiance, I was like, we need to go get Vegas bombs. We need to go get Vegas bombs. Now I can't even remember what they looked or tasted like, but I remember we were all about it when we were down there. Thank you for reminding me of
Oh yeah. Well, I
that.
think it was like Red Bull and like coconut rum and like triple sec or something like that. Like, I don't
Something
know. Like,
very sweet and goody. Yeah.
yeah, it was great. So we were just drinking those. We had one, like, out of all the time we were there, we went to the pool one day. Like, how freaking
Yes.
sad. We went out off of the hotel property once to go to that like speakeasy bar that I didn't even like. Like,
I didn't like the drinks. I thought it was cool that it was like a hole in the, like it was a secret spot. It reminded me of the movies where you open up the painting and it's another room. So I thought that
yeah.
was so cool. But the drinks, I'm like, oh, like the bartender came over, he's like, I make specialty drinks. I'm like, I didn't care about any of that. Like,
Yeah, no,
but I'm
like,
not a
because
big drinker either.
it was all like really straightforward drinks that were like, I think there were mostly vodka drinks, which I don't really drink vodka. And
Same.
I mean, now I like don't really drink at all, but like at the time, I definitely wasn't like a vodka girl, wasn't a vodka girly. And it was like martinis and like stuff like that. And I was just like, but not like the martinis that we see at like Applebee's or whatever that are like not really martinis because they're not like all alcohol. They're like part juice. They're like,
Yeah.
you
These are
know,
the bougie drinks. We were
yeah,
getting
it
the
was like
bougie drinks.
a dirty martini with olives and stuff like that, or like a lavender martini. It would like literally have pieces of plant in it. And I was like, I don't get it.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't my thing. I mean, it was cool. I felt like the aesthetic was the most appealing thing, but then like if you're so like you and me, we're not big drinkers, we're just like, meh.
Yeah.
We're kind of there just for the
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think at the
vibes. So
time we were kind of big drinkers.
yeah, like definitely I felt like I drank so much that year, and it's funny because like I've never liked the taste of alcohol. I still don't. I like when I'm stressed out and come home from work, I don't think about grabbing a glass of wine. I don't care about the taste of alcohol. Some taste better than others, but I feel like, it dehydrates you, it makes you thirstier, and I'm like, it doesn't taste good. But I drank so much back then because I wanted to party like
Right.
everybody else.
Right. Well, I mean, we were just and it all plays into like the cult stuff, right? Like we were trying to escape the like bad stuff in our lives. And here we were like, oh, like let's girl boss all the way to the sun. We're just gonna make money. We don't need no man and all that stuff. And it was just great. But it was also really awesome. I'm gonna pivot a little bit back to those times when we would go to the bar. Because I like to call this time in my life Jenny's dating like what am I trying to say? Like it
My
was like a dating show. Like
escapade.
every week you're like, okay, so like I'm gonna bring this guy and like let's see one if he's gonna be interested in Plexus and two if he's gonna be the love of my life. And
We were scheming. I was like, I gotta get this guy on Plexus. And my focus was getting them on Plexus and seeing if I could get a meal. Like I feel so bad about that now. But like back then I was like, if he buys me food, like it's meant to be. Like also I was trying to get a free meal. Oh my God. Like it was the absolute shenanigans of all that. But yeah, that was, we were scheming.
Yeah, we were. We were scheming. It was funny. And it was really funny because you would be like, okay, I went on one date with this guy. I'm gonna bring him to our Plexus thing and see what happens. But I don't feel like you were I know that people that were in Amway and stuff that are probably listening right now, they're thinking about how and this is very classic for Amway. I know other people do it too, but they would try to lure people in through the vi like guise of dating. But I don't really feel that was really what you were doing. You were soft pitching Plexus. If you want to do it, cool. That would be cool because I love Plexus. But it wasn't as strategic as it is in other MLMs where people will literally go to coffee shops and go on dates and then they're like, let me bring you to my cult meeting at Amway. It was more like we had a set date to hang out and you were like, Danielle, vet this guy with me.
I didn't even, I don't, I'm not familiar with Amway, but I didn't know people actually did that. Yeah, I didn't really do anything with a clear strategy. I was just like, I'm gonna pitch Plexus to them, but I really didn't care if they ended up joining or not. I would give them free samples. And I don't think any of them really, they liked the samples, but they weren't really into that. And that wasn't a make or break thing for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was so go with the flow and extremely impulsive. I just did what I wanted in the moment. So I was like, oh, this guy's cute. He's giving me attention. I'm gonna bring him to the Plexus meet and see what happens.
It was so funny. Oh, and now I'm gonna go back to Vegas where I said I was gonna roast you because I totally forgot to tell that story. I don't know. Do you want to
burrito
tell it or
bowl.
do you want me to tell it?
You can go ahead. I'll add to
Yeah.
it.
So we were obsessed with those burrito bowls, and Jenny got one, and then she's like, I'm going to bed. And she went to bed, and then the next day tried to eat this burrito bowl that's been sitting out all night. And I was like, Jenny, you can't just eat that. And I think at one point, how long did it actually stay out for and you ate it? I feel like it was more than a day.
I felt like it was 8 hours.
Oh,
Like I've
no.
always been kind of like that though. Like, I mean, I'm cautious with things I eat. Like I look at expiration dates, but I always kind of grew up like, oh, this is probably still good. I smell it. I look at it, I'm like, yeah, smells normal. Tastes normal. I'm gonna give it a shot. And I haven't gotten food poisoning ever, so maybe I just have a good immune system now from doing that. Like
I don't know if that's how
but
it works
I've always
because
been like the I mean, I would never eat like leave raw meat out for hours and hours and then eat it. But like something that's been cooked, if it's been out for an hour or two, I'm like, okay, I'll pick at it.
okay,
And but even I probably got that from my dad. Yeah,
it was
I
definitely more than an hour or two.
it was like 8 hours. Because I remember we couldn't put it in the fridge because these hotels are so scammy. It's like if you open the fridge, you get charged $50. And I'm pretty sure that happened to us. Someone opened up the fridge and took out a Fiji water, and we got charged $75. Like,
I don't
I'm like, I'm not putting
remember.
it in the fridge. I remember that because, like, I always carried that with me whenever I travel. I'm like, don't touch the fridge. You're going to get charged $75. Like,
Oh
and
my
that actually
God.
happened to me again. Like that did happen to me. I forgot. I think it actually was in Las Vegas again. The second time I went, I took a water off of the counter because, like, on some of the countertops they have waters and coffee set up. I took a water so that I could take my medication. I took a sip of the water, and it charged us money. And I'm like, God damn it! Like,
Shame on you. Shame on you
yeah,
for being
I should
that
have learned.
thirsty.
I know, right? $75 for a Fiji water.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh. So I feel like after Plexus, I'm not after Plexus, after the convention is kind of where everything started to fall apart for both of us in regards to MLM and also sadly kind of our relationship. Not that
I don't
anything
remember if it's that
necessarily
time around.
happened. It was just like life was happening and like I think we just like we're doing our thing.
Yeah, I remember we still hung out a lot, but I felt like the peak was definitely the convention.
Yeah.
The peak was definitely the convention. Yeah.
Well, I think that we both went there and we were like, okay, like if we can do all this stuff and like because I was like, if I can qualify, I can bring you with me to like this next event. And then it like became pretty clear that I was never going to qualify for anything. And then I started my internship and I was like, I can't do this. Like, I can't do all this anymore. And finally started to like step back. And it was like, I remember telling not my upline, but the one above it, I was like, I'm still like taking the products, but like, I'm not gonna like try to sell anymore. Like, I'm happy to try to help people that like I already have in my downline, but like, I might end up like sending them to you because like I'm too busy. Like, I literally can't handle this right now. And, cause like there were a couple of times I think that you had reached out to me and I was like, honestly, I have no idea. Like, ask that person.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I was like slowly starting to get more and more frustrated with like the MLM aspect of it all. But like it was cognitive dissonance, like for sure. Cause like I didn't realize what was happening. Like I was still taking the products, I was still doing all this stuff. And then like occasionally I would post something and be like, I still take Plexus if you want to try it. Okay, bye.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember like, all of a sudden, like, people started to drop like flies. Like, people just were not that into it anymore. It was like the era of Plexus was ending. And I was still grasping at straws for a little bit, but then, like, I was still doing Plexus, but then I started to gain weight again. And then I think that made me realize, like, I don't need this to, like, lose weight. This isn't why I lost weight. And when I go back and, like I go back and forth with this a lot, I'm like, how did I lose weight so quickly like that? Like, I literally, Danielle, as soon as I broke up with that guy, like right before I started Plexus, I think I lost 5 pounds the first week we broke up, because I was putting on like my bras and stuff like that, and I'm like, whoa, this is really loose. Then the following week, like, the clothes got looser and looser, and I think at one point I went to, what's that store, Abercrombie, and no, it was Hollister when it was open at the mall. And I was trying on pants and I was wearing at the time a size 5, because you know, their sizes are odd numbers. And then the next week they were too loose. And so I went back and had to buy a size 3. And this is a week apart. So wow. I was already rapidly losing weight. And at the time, like I said, I thought it was Plexus, but when I go back and just really like think about it, I think I lost weight, one, because the stress of that relationship was gone, and because we were out like running amok in the town so much, like dancing. And I will say, like, I think Plexus helped in a way amplify it, because I was drinking more water because of the pink drink. But I don't think it couldn't have been like all of Plexus. And when I started to realize that I really cannot credit Plexus for my weight loss, it was because I was extremely active. Even though we were drinking, we were like still dancing a lot and moving around a lot. That's when I was like, I don't feel like I need Plexus anymore. And I stopped taking it. So, I mean, I gained my weight, but I don't think it had anything to do with Plexus. I just was not moving around as much anymore.
No, I think that part of being in a weight loss MLM is that, like, you have to walk the walk, right? So, like, we were, like, and not only that, too, you were probably eating better, and you were probably sleeping better, and you were doing all this stuff better, which all, you know, contributes to your overall health. And then we were like super active and like going and doing all this stuff and having so much fun. So I'm sure it was like a combination of all that. And like with Plexus too, they also encouraged us to drink more water, like alongside the pink drink. It was like, you drink the pink drink and then you drink all of this water, because like, that's what you're supposed to do. And they didn't encourage us to drink anything else. So pretty much all we drank was water, pink drink, and alcohol. So
yes. And I will say, I kind of wonder if it was a placebo effect too, because I'm like, oh, these products are helping me, even though they're really not. So then it made me like more conscious about what I ate, drink more water, moved around more. And right. then those factors helped, but I was contributing it all to the products and it was more of a placebo effect. So,
right. Well, like what I found and since we've been out is that like a lot of people like uplines and stuff like that, like not necessarily ours. I don't know about ours, but like up, like diamond sparkle princess ones will like be doing like other fad diets along with, their MLM products. Like this is across different MLMs, like Herbalife, Beachbody, Plexus, like doesn't matter, Melaleuca, they all do it. Where they will use like some sort of starvation diet and then they will credit everything to their MLM. And I think that when you're trying to sell weight loss products, there's a lot more pressure on you to do well. So you are being more conscious about what you're eating and trying to like make healthier choices, because that's the whole point, is that we're representing a health and wellness company, so we should be like quote unquote eating healthy.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that definitely makes sense.
Yeah,
we're part of their image, so
exactly.
What I kind of get bummed out about when I think about it too, like back then, is like I felt like I got so like much more followers on social media. I felt like people wanted to hang out with me more. And now that I don't really get that kind of attention anymore, I'm like, it made me realize like people are just chasing other people that they see how their life is and they want to be a part of it. And I was like, I had this whole influencer vibe going, like this pretty party girl. So everyone just wanted a piece of that. But as soon as I wasn't doing that stuff anymore, where were these people? Where are these people? Nowhere to be found. It's false friends. Like a lot of these people, I don't even know where they are anymore.
Yeah.
So it kind of bums me out. It really makes you realize, like, you know, people use each other. So
for sure. Yeah. For sure. And like, it's so interesting too, because like, you know, I think that we got like really bonded and like Plexus bonded us together and we had so much fun. And then I think that personally, like I got embarrassed about Plexus, but like I was still doing it. Like, again, the cognitive dissonance was like so there. Like I got embarrassed about Plexus. So like as like life got more and more in the way, like I grew further and further apart from my downline people because I was like, I don't know that I like what I did and what happened anymore. And so instead of like, well, I didn't know what was happening. Like I was stuck in cognitive dissonance land. So I just like pulled away and like kind of distanced myself and continued on about my business, which is sad.
Yeah, it is sad. There's so much psychological impact that these systems, their influence on us, that we don't realize until afterward. We're like, whoa, like our mindsets are so different now about it. Like now when I see other people on my social media, I'm glad that, like, you know, they have some MLM system, whatever. It's funny, like there's specific people I'm thinking of that they're following an MLM and they're making posts about why you should join and how much weight they've lost and how much more confident they are. And it's like almost giving me flashbacks. And I'm like, I'm glad that they're in a happier place in life, but it's a placebo effect. Like you could have done this without all the products, you know. You can't really give credit to the products like that. Like wearing a patch is not going to make you lose weight. It's just like, and right. I'm just kind of, I'm counting down the minutes until they realize like, oh, you know, yeah. But I let, you know, my mentality is I let people kind of learn on their own. I don't really have input into it. Just don't try to be. I hate when people get into my inbox and they're like, you want to buy this? No, I don't want to. Like, I don't like when people send me friend requests on social media just because they want to sell me something. I do, but I will give credit to Plexus. Is I remember they taught us not to do that. What was it called? Cold messaging.
Yeah.
To me, that's creepy as heck.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, you're just, it's, I don't know.
No,
they, so I remember.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I remember putting it in my bio, like, don't message me if you're going to try to sell me something. Out. I never did that to people. Like, hey, when I do this, I let people message me if they wanted to know.
So. Right. Well, they were all about us, like, taking the time to build relationships. And you know what? That's freaking exhausting. Like, that's so exhausting. So, like, you're messaging all, and, like, you know, it's great. Like, on one hand, it's, like, cool. Like, I'm, like, becoming friendlier and friendlier with all of these people. But then if every single person takes you up and wants to be besties with you and, like, do all this stuff with you, like, that's a lot of social battery. And, like, I mean, looking back on it from now, I'm like, my social battery was a lot different then than it is now. Now I'm like, okay, like, I can be out for, like, 4 hours at a time. But after that, like, you need to send me home.
Yeah, I'm the same way, too. I feel like I have so much social anxiety. I feel like I have, like, a mask on when I socialize. Like, I'm putting a lot of effort into socializing, but it drains me so much because I overthink all of my social interactions. So then I don't want to really go out and be social because it, the anxiety is so prominent that I'm like, this is exhausting. So I tend to, like, you know, I'm introverted, believe it or not. I've honestly, at my root, have always been introverted, but I feel like I've forced myself to be extroverted and deal with the consequences after. But at my roots, I'm a homebody. Like, I do like to go out and socialize here and there, but like you said, I have a social battery. Like, after a point, I'm like, I can't do this. Like, I need to go home. Like, it's just too much. And my fiance is always encouraging me to go out, and I'm like, I don't, like, my friends are all spread out everywhere. They all got their own things going on. Some of them live in other states now, or they got married and have kids. So I'm like, there's nobody around. Like, so I'm just going to sit here and do my homework and play video games and read. That's pretty much what I do. Yeah. And then when we do go out, it's mostly with his friends. And I do wish I could go out with my friends more like I did back then. But, like going back to, like, the people who weren't really your friends, they were kind of just being friends with you because it looked like you were having a great life. Like, I don't want to have to feel like that again, that, like, people are just being my friends because they want a piece of my life, if right. That makes sense.
No.
I'd rather have fewer friends that are genuine than a whole crowd of people who are just there because I'm eye candy and they want to be associated with me. You know, right. Like, the whole social life thing. That's what it felt like. So.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, no, and, like, you're saying all that, I'm like, yeah, me too. And then I'm like thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, but, like, can we do whatever the things that we used to do at, like, remember we used to go out so late? Like, you were like, Danielle, you want to come to this hookah bar with me?
Oh my
at, like, 11:30 at night, and I'm like, yeah.
And you were dying. You told me, I think you said back then your bedtime was 8 o'clock. And you know what was funny? It was, like, for me, like, at that time, I feel like my sleep schedule was so much better that I was genuinely getting tired at 11:30 at night, but I was forcing myself to go out because I wanted the attention. I wanted to be social. I wanted to be liked by people. So I would force myself into these situations I didn't even really want to be in.
Yeah.
I'd go out late when I didn't really want to be out that late. And then towards the end of my reign of terror, being a crazy party girl, like, I started to be like, nah, I'm going home. And everyone's like, why are you going home? Oh my God, it's only 2 in the morning. I'm like, I'm going home. I need to go to bed. Like,
oh my God. Well, you know what? All eras of our life have to come to an end, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, that's so funny. That's so funny. So yeah, is there anything else that you want to, like, add to, like, our plot line from our Plexus life together before I ask you my final question?
I just want to reassure you, I really have no negative feelings towards you. with Plexus, you know, in bringing me into it. I don't like being a salesperson. I don't like being pushed to sell or buy or anything like that. But I have like no, like when you told me that you had guilt over it, I was surprised. And I'm like, I never resented you for any of that. I felt like you even though we don't do that stuff anymore, we kind of realize like, the stuff is cringy. Like I felt like I had like the best time of my life with you. So,
oh my God.
I don't really like, I really don't want you to like feel like, oh no, like I ruined Jenny's life. I dragged her into stuff. Nah, man, I felt like doing that stuff was kind of like the catalyst in me, like having like both the best year of my life and just create, like, I wouldn't say the worst year of my life at the same time, but I was extremely mentally ill, but I felt like I had to go through that transition in order to better myself. So I felt like it was really necessary. And even though I had a lot of dark times that year, I had a lot of fun times, especially with you. We have so many weird stories. I really am like tempted to write stuff about it, because like when I tell people these stories, they're like, how does weird stuff happen to you? And I'm like, I don't know, like I just attract this stuff. I'm goofy, you know, you're goofy too. I felt like we attracted some weird stuff that was like, now we look back, we're like, what the heck was that? Like
what were we doing? Yeah, no, I had a lot of fun with you too, and thank you so much for saying that. Like, I do have a lot of guilt from like that time, because like now knowing how manipulative all of that stuff was, like obviously I wasn't doing, or maybe it's not obvious to some people, I don't want to speak for everyone, but like I had no intentions of like manipulating people, but I was definitely like I have this like addictive part of my personality that's like very like gamified, like very reward driven. And so they were always like dangling the carrot. So I was always like, okay, well, if I can just get five more friends to join, and then I just like kind of energizer bunny through it all. And I'd be like, okay, Jenny, if you get two people and I get three people, then I'll rank up. And then we'll have Alexis together.
Oh my gosh. I still wonder, like, how did those people manage to accomplish that? Like, how, like, I felt like they were, like, legendary creatures or something of mythology, the diamond people that had the Lexus and like, their success in an MLM. Because the reality is, and this is the biggest thing with, like, MLM for me, is, like, they promise all these sales are going to get you rich and all this power that is really not realistic at all. Like, you're lucky to even like get $100, like right. And it's not a matter of, oh, you're not working hard enough, it's not that at all, like
right, exactly. And like only like less than 1% of people actually make it to the top, and they act like it's anybody that can make it to the top, like anyone can be here at, like, I was you too, like I started at the bottom too, blah 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 blah. But I don't know if you know this or not, because I know you're not like as into anti-MLM stuff as I am, but when you earn the car, you actually don't, like, so you have to continue to qualify for that level to continue to get the car payment. And if you don't hit rank every month, you don't get that like car bonus, and it's all in your name.
Oh.
So like you are like, you're responsible for it.
You're forced to maintain that level of fame that you have.
Yep.
Otherwise you'll lose that car.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's always some kind of catch to things, huh?
Yeah. You know, what do they say? If it's too good to be true, then it's probably not.
Yeah, exactly.
Ugh.
Oh my god.
All right. Oh, anything else before I ask you your final question?
Nope, that's all.
All right. Well, Jenny, what is your anti-MLM why? And it doesn't need to make you cry.
Well, I think the why I don't do MLM is
You know, like I said before, with especially with Plexus, like I realized like my success in losing weight was not because of Plexus. And also like I don't like being pushed to sell things. I don't like being pushed to buy things. So, you know, just that kind of weird cult energy and the promises like you're gonna make this much money, you're gonna like regrow your you know, you had hair loss, now you're gonna grow back all your hair, like all those phony claims, like it's creepy, it's cringy, and you know, getting messages from people who just want to sell you things, like just that overall vibe is just like I don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
So just a combination of all those factors just make MLM not appealing to me. And I don't have the energy to be chasing some kind of weird business like that. Like I'm too
weird
independent.
Business that you're probably not going to be successful in. I don't think that any of us have time for that.
No. I got school. I got work. You know, like at the end of my career, I'd like to do like an independent practice, private practice too. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to like think about like getting this many, like many people to buy my products. You know that, you know, the products probably don't even really work as well as people think they do.
Right. Exactly. Oh, Jenny, thank you so much for coming on here and for talking about all of this with me. I really appreciate you, and I am so glad that we are both out of our MLM phase. And we're on to bigger and better things. And I'm so excited about like just how far you've come and like all the things that you're doing. Like you're so cool. And I'm just so happy for you.
Well, thank you. And thank you for bringing me. And I'm proud of you too. You've managed to accomplish a lot.
Oh my God. Love Fest
over
here. In a
short period of time too. Yes.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a great weekend. Bye.